But I thank God for our music here and for those who work so hard to give us that and prepare our hearts for the message and from the Word of God. And I thank you for that. Take your Bibles, please, and if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And drop down, if you would, to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. And I want to talk to you tonight for the next few minutes about good habits. Good habits. Verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And think of the fact that we as believers need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." That word means maturity. To maturity. Go on to maturity. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." But especially look there at the verse that says that we should go on, move on, go on unto maturity. Now, a little boy fell out of the bed and his mother came in and said, "Sonny, what happened?" He said, "Mama, I really don't know exactly what happened, but I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. I stayed too close to where I got in." You think about that just for a moment. And I believe that that is so easy for us to do in our Christianity. To stay too close to where we got in. Or to maybe stay too close to the edge. Maybe we move a little, but we really don't move as we should. And we are tempted to stay real close to where we got in, where we got saved. In fact, some people are seemingly further away than they were when they got in the bed. That's a strange and very unusual thing, but that does happen, I believe. We're tempted to stay where we got in and maybe never really move and grow in the things of the Lord like we should. Now, tonight I want you to just think just a moment. Pick a time in your past, maybe a year or 2 years back. Just in your mind, go back to that time period in your life. And I want you to compare that with something. I want you to compare it with some things that I'm going to mention to you and ask you, as you compare where you were 2 years ago or sometime in your past or even a year ago, as you compare these things to that then, where are you? And first of all, how does your prayer life compare to that back then? I believe that some of us as Christians need a tune-up in our prayer lives. We need a tune-up in our prayer lives. We have the promise and a lot of promises from God about praying and how wonderful we have the privilege, how wonderful it is that we have the privilege to pray and to call on God. That's a great privilege. And the Bible says in John 9:31, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." If you're not saved, God's not going to hear and honor your prayer until it's the first prayer where you repent and get saved. That's what the Bible teaches. "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Do you believe that? Say amen if you do. If you're a worshiper of God, if your heart's right with God, then God is going to hear your prayers. God's going to hear our prayers. One of the areas I think that is wanting is we have a lack of consistency in our prayers. A lack of consistency. What do you mean? Well, sometimes it's like we're in a desert and we just don't pray at all. And sometimes it's like we're in an oasis and we pray a whole lot. And we dive into the waters of grace and the mercy of God and pray. But then we go back to that time of a desert or a desert experience when we are really like we are wandering through a desert. We're not praying. We don't have that connection with God that we had. We're up in our prayer life and we're down in our prayer life. We're praying a lot and then we get away from it. I believe we need to be consistent in our prayer life. Be consistent. God is going to honor consistency. I think we also need to be sincere in our prayer life. Have sincerity in our prayer lives. You know, I have to watch this and guard it. And when I see it coming, I just pour my heart out to God. And I try to do that anyway. But sometimes if we're not careful, our prayers become hollow, very, very, very routine, if not almost memorized. And we say we're not liturgical and we're not ritualistic. But you think about your prayer life sometimes. We almost get in a habit of saying the same thing at the same time, at the same place. And there's something good about being structured in where you're going in your prayer life. But I think sometimes we just need to pour our hearts out to God. Just to have emotion in it. Cry out to God. Pathos. Feeling. Calling on God. Crying in His presence. Letting Him know that we want Him to hear us. Pouring not just some ritual out to God, but down on your knees and calling out to God and asking Him to hear our prayers. And not just when you're having problems, but every day in our prayer life, having that relationship with God of sincerity. Sometimes we pray daily, but we pray dully. We need to pray daily, but we need to pray with feeling in our prayers and sincerity and get a hold of the throne of Almighty God so that God can do something in our lives and in the lives of the church and the loved ones. We also need to pray honestly. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, sometimes I think when people pray, they don't pray honestly as if they really, honestly believe God is going to answer their prayers. I mean, really believe it. Really, really believe it. Not just pray and say, well, I sort of hope God hears that. Maybe He'll do something about it. I believe we need to do business with God, pour our heart out to Him, pour it out regularly, have a good prayer life. And when we do, we need to believe God is going to answer prayer. Now, we've got to have our hearts right with God. But God wants us to pray. And we sometimes, I think, some people wonder, does prayer really make a difference? Does it really, really make a difference? And I promise you tonight that prayer does make a difference. Don't ever stop praying. Keep on praying. You may not understand the way God's going to answer it. You may not think He's answering it fast enough. But I can tell you, God will answer your prayer. He is sovereign, we say. He is omniscient. Why should I pray to a God who is sovereign, who knows what's going to happen already? Because He tells us to. Because He says that we need to pray. We need it. Who am I to tell God anything? I'm nobody. You see, the power in prayer is not in the person praying so much. The power is in the one who is hearing our prayers. He's the one that has the power. We just get a hold of it and tap in to the power of God, and we get our prayers to Him with a sincerity of our hearts, and God is the one who answers it. And I can tell you that prayers do make a difference. How's your prayer life tonight compared to what it was 1 or 2 years ago or when you first got saved? How is your prayer life? How's your giving compared to a couple of years ago? Have you learned to give by faith? You know, a lot of people, they want to find out now, just to the letter of the law, how much do I have to give? What does God require? 10%? Can I just stop there? Would that be all right? Do I have to tithe off the gross? Can I just tithe off the other? Can I, since I have a retirement account, can I take that out? And you're looking at the thing all wrong. See, there should be love for God. And when you have that love for God like you should, it's not going to be that stingy attitude of what can I keep back and what can I hold back and do I really have to give that much? You see, when you love God, you're going to want to give to God. You're going to be in His program. His program requires money. Missions requires money. Keeping these buildings up requires a lot of money. Requires a lot of money. You'd be surprised how much money it requires. Just so you can sit here in this nice air conditioning tonight. All of it requires funds from God's people. And to get the job done, we can't go around saying what is legal and what is least. We must say, oh God, help me to learn the grace of giving. To give by faith. I guarantee you, if you'll practice it, you'll never come to me and say, preacher, you lied to me. You practice it. I know it works. I'll put my life on it. It works. It's God's plan. Giving by faith. Not just sight. Not just what you can figure out. But on the top of that, giving. Not so much how much you give maybe, but maybe the percentage of your total. It's not always comparing bucks with bucks. But it's the heart attitude. How's your giving compared to what it used to be? How's your joy compared to what it was 2 years ago? Or when you first got saved. How's the joy in your life? Has it increased? You know, I believe God likes for us to have joy. I really do. I get excited about songs and preaching and things like that. I just can't help myself. I get rejoicing and I enjoy those things. I rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes when I look out over congregations, I think, boy, I'm not sure they're rejoicing or not. I think they're weighing out every note of the song and wondering if somebody's going to make a mistake or just what's happening. We need to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not talking about some put-on fake stuff, but we need to rejoice in God, to be happy in Jesus. Would you say, and would others who know you say tonight about you, you have the joy of the Lord? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you don't have that strength. Rejoice, Jesus said to his disciples, not in the fact that you could cast out demons and heal people and all of that, but rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Amen. Hey, I'm glad about that tonight. I'm thankful that my name is written down in heaven. And I'm going to go to heaven by the grace of Almighty God. Rejoice in the Lord always, good days, bad days. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. How's your church loyalty compared to what it was? I believe God tells the members of a local New Testament church that they are to assemble together. Just like Brother Fox was talking about the group this morning singing. I believe the group ought to come together, don't you? I believe every member of the church, unless they're hindered providentially, whatever that may be, and there are some cases, but I believe that every member whose name is on the rolls of this church should be in church. And unfortunately, there are some that are not. What's wrong with them? They've lost the joy of the Lord, I guess. But we need to be loyal to the church and to the services of the church, the assembly of the church, and I might add the ministries of the church. And the mission of the church, and also when we have special services, I would encourage you, as part of the group, as part of the local body, be there. Be in church. If we have a missions conference, don't let anything keep you from that. I believe God's people ought to come to the missions conference. I don't know why they wouldn't want to be at the missions conference, unless they're providentially hindered. I believe if we have a Bible conference here, everybody ought to want to come and be in God's house. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. When the church calls for an assembly, I believe all of God's people ought to come. And listen, the very time you miss is the time that God had just exactly probably what you needed that particular night. How many times, and I don't try to single people out and preach at them and do all of that and use the pulpit as a bully pulpit. I may have done that a couple times along the way, but at any rate, I don't want to do that. But many times I've preached messages, not thinking of anyone, but looking at those who missed that service. And I'm sitting up here after it's over with thinking, oh God, I wish they had been here. Boy, they really needed your word tonight, maybe a family situation, maybe a trial they're going through, and they missed it because they were not in God's house. I believe that our church loyalty ought to be great, and it should be better and grow and grow and grow as we grow in the Lord. We should be faithful to God's house and God's ministries, and service ought to be part of it, to serve God in the local church. Have you quit serving God, or are you still serving God? Are you serving God as much as you did, or are you serving Him more than you did? Where are you compared to a year or two ago, or I might say when you first got saved? How about your personal Bible study? I know this is very practical, but these are the things we need to get back to and we need to stay with. What about your personal Bible study? Isn't it so easy to get away from reading the book? We have so many things. And the time restrictions are there. But if we are careful, and if we plan it, and if we are thirsty for it, if we desire it, we'll have time for this book. We must take time for the Word of God, no matter what we're doing. And many times, hobbies, television, music, many other things pull us away from this. Even good literature. There's nothing wrong with good, godly literature, but don't let good, godly literature, no matter what it is, don't let those Christian novels, ladies or men, pull you away from being in the Word of God. There's no substitute for being in this book. How much time are you spending in the Word of God compared to what you used to? Are you spending a lot of time in it? That's how you're going to learn, is to spend time in the Word of God. And if we don't do that, we'll quit learning. And we'll, many people quit learning, and then there are those who actually fail to review the Word of God and forget what they've already learned. I find that I've got to go back and review some things, whether it's prophecy or whatever it may be. I've got to go back and look at it again and again, and some of the things that are there in the Word of God, lest I myself forget what God has said about those things. It's there in the Word of God. How do you know what to do? How do you know whether to co-sign for somebody or not? Go back to Proverbs and don't do it. I'm just saying, many times people forget what they've already read. We need to go back and review. We need to stay in the Word. Go back and go back and go back, and don't forget what we know. How about witnessing? How about witnessing? You know, in our churches, used to, that was one of the hallmark deals. We're an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, say it with me, soul-winning Baptist church. We're supposed to be a soul-winning Baptist church. Has there ever been a time in your life where you tried harder and brought more people to Christ than you have in the last year or 2 years? Most of us, when we first get saved, we're so excited about it. Oh, I'm saved. I want to tell everybody. I can't wait. I've got to tell them. I'm going to tell my sister. I'm going to tell my brother. I'm going to tell my mom. I'm going to tell my daddy. I'm going to tell my friends. I'm going to tell everybody I work with. I'm going to find a place, and somehow I'm going to tell them, because I want them to be saved. I want them to have the forgiveness that I've experienced, and to experience the fact that God's wrath is taken off of them. We want that when we first get saved. We have to work on it, because the devil works on us. You say, well, I don't know how to tell somebody how to be saved. Well, maybe you didn't get saved. Maybe you didn't. If you don't know how to tell somebody how to be saved, how did you get saved? Well, I realized I was a sinner, and I believe Jesus died for me, and somebody told me if I'd accept Him as my Savior and believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, I'd be saved. You got it. That isn't real difficult. You don't have to have all those 16 or 18 steps in every way. Just be willing and burdened and brokenhearted. And all of us have to. I have to work on that. We all have to work on that. But I can tell you that our churches, our kind of churches, even independent fundamental Baptist churches, are really getting away from that. And I want to tell you what I think it is. Not only is it sort of a lukewarm Laodiceanism, I don't think that's the key word there. But I think the key word is pride. We just don't like for people to look down on us when we tell them about Jesus. We don't like the results of what they might say. But you know what? We should still go ahead and tell others about Christ and be bold about it. Be loving. Be kind. You don't have to be mean in order to do it. Be bold about it. But talk to people. We need to do it about Jesus Christ. I need to bring more people down the aisles. And our leadership needs to bring more people down the aisles. And all of the members of this church, we need to bring people in. If you can't win them to the Lord out there and you don't do that, bring them to church with you. Had some folks came up to me this morning, said, I brought a visitor, I brought so-and-so. Another lady came and said, I brought two with me today. Hey, if you can get them here and let me preach to them, that'll be good too. That does not do away with our responsibility out there to tell others about Christ. But I would just ask you tonight to consider, are you really taking the opportunities that you have to really seize those opportunities to tell others the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think probably not as a whole, because if that be the case, I do believe we'd see more people walking the aisles. Don't you? Don't you think that'd be true? So may God help us to go out and do that. Now, let's don't make the mistake of the little boy. Don't stay too close to where you got in. And don't try to keep fudging back to that area. We need to grow in the grace of the Lord. It is a risky business to rest on the edge. And if you're not careful, you'll get away from the Lord, and the joy will be gone. The soul-winning fervor will be gone. The love for the Bible will be gone. All of these things I've mentioned. We don't need to sleep so close to the edge, resting on the edge. We need to have these good habits, and by God's grace, improve them every day of our lives. By the way, some have never gotten into the bed. You've never gotten saved. You can't get back close to the edge till you get in. You've got to come to Christ. That's a very simple illustration, but you've got to get in the bed. You've got to come to Christ. And that is through trusting Him as your Savior and through His precious, precious blood. And then when you do that, follow Him in believer's baptism. Amen? And in discipleship, grow, grow, grow in the Lord. Move away from the edge. Get over there in the middle where it's not so dangerous. And serve the Lord with gladness. Let's stand, please.